Không phải nói nhưng mà
không phải nói.
Không
phải nói. You hear face covered by a cosmic presence, kindly remove that covering and exhibit yourself to your pure devotees.
Proper?
Yes. Now, here's the
deal. Good. We have Pushan. Pushan is an antenna. Prabhupada explains Pushan to mean that Krishna is the container of Brahman and Paramatma. And Pushan Brahman is Vishraya. The two natures, Dharma Atma is the name of Dharma. So two natures, he is living with two natures. That is, Krishna is beyond the Brahman. He is living with Dharma and that is the nature of Brahman. And this two natures is revealed only through Bhakti. That's what Prabhupada is telling me. Major section of the book. So, as you remember, the last section of the book about prayer for requesting the Lord to redeem himself. So, this is about 15 to 18.
So, Brahman realization is like that.
Like a millionaire, a person has become a millionaire, but he's not acting as a millionaire. Because the Brahman realization, there is no activity. It's only that we act according to the level that we are. The experience happens in that way. Brahman realization is fully connected. That's right. It is a platform of social happiness. I'm saying that. But that platform, it itself does not bring that happiness, make it happen. Right? So, one has to act for that. So, after understanding the soul, what next? As the act of the soul. As a soul, I'm the role of Krishna. I act as a role of Krishna, I become happy. Therefore, when we realize this point, then we can understand Kasya Ekan Krishna, the platform. Just like a person is sitting on this platform. Dance on this platform is another level of happiness. It's all on this platform. So you will have to have Bhakti on that platform of Brahma realization. In that sense, Brahma realization is the basis. Without Brahma realization, you choose a Bhakti, you cannot be the issue. As long as I invent the body, and as long as I'm having the enjoyment, I'll take the body in there. Very good, very interesting. You want to draw for it? Yeah, we can. Hello. You check out camera. You can get it. You don't have any.
Brahma, Paramatma, and Bhagwan. Are the aspects of the same absolute truth? Brahma is an aspect. What is the perceived material? Paramatma, the super soul. It is realized by those who have further progressed. And so on, realization is the ultimate realization of the absolute truth. This is transformed in Bhagavad Gita 7.7, where Lord Krishna says that this is the ultimate concept of the absolute truth. Therefore, Krishna is the source of the Brahma Yogi as well as all pervading Paramatma. Later, the Bhagavad Gita 10.42, Krishna further explains. But what is here, Arjuna? For all this previous knowledge, with a single fragment of my study, I pervaded and supported the entire universe. Thus, by him, one study expansion in all pervading Paramatma. Before reaching complete material concentration, you also reached all manifestations in the physical world. Therefore, in this Shri Mantra of Shri Krishna, God is addressed as Pujan, the ultimate
maintainer. Pujan Mahamudra, so these are the sentences of Prabhupada. I will push it for a Swamitya and Prabhupada also. Because in one sense, he said, Krishna is talking about the same thing. So many times, he knew this. Krishna is talking about Brahma and Paramatma. Why is he doing the same thing again? But he is speaking in the context of this verse. That the word Krishna in this verse means this. So, if we look at this, small sentences generally come to start of the paragraph or at the end of the paragraph. Therefore, here, because, starting with this, these sentences give us the link of Prabhupada's thought flow. And then we understand why Prabhupada is saying something at 32 degrees. So, generally we go 14.27 for how Krishna is the source of Brahma. Now, we are not immediately off the cuff, know of words, our Krishna is the source of Paramatma. This is the verse. 10.42. And what it is, a single fragment of myself, Ishtabhyamigam Kutsnam, then Kutsnam, this whole particular verse. Ek Amshi, now, by one Amshi of mine, I am manifesting. So, what is Amshi? We know from Krishna comes Balram, then Vasudevan Prasantasya Narudra, then Narayan, and again Vasudevan Prasantasya Narudra. And then we have Amshi, the whole Lakshya Vishnu, Shiva Lakshya Vishnu. And Shiva Lakshya Vishnu is the first of the universe. That means that ek-aamsha is a projata. Yes, go ahead.
The personality of God is in Krishna. He is always still in Krishna's special place, Ananda Sarva Bhakshat. When he was present at Vrindavan in India 5,000 years ago, he always remains in transcendental bliss. This is from the beginning of the sacred person. The teaching of various demons, such as Agra, Paka, Bhutana, and Pranaka, were but present expressions for him. In his day of Vrindavan, he enjoyed himself with his mother, brother, and friends, and made the road also a muddy but steep. All his associates enjoyed celestial bliss by his steering. The Lord's name as a butter thief is not reproachable, for by stealing butter the Lord is pleasure to his pure devotee. Addressing the Lord in Vrindavan was for the pleasure of his associates there. The Lord created these pastimes to attract the dry spirit and the acrobats of the so called Hatha Yoga system who wish to find a suitable
acrobats. Acrobat, why? Because they twist their body in different ways. Now, this is over 10 months ago. Hatha Yoga accomplishments are childish. Childish Hatha Yoga accomplishments are childish. Next supplement. Now, take it off.
Who wants to work on the other side of the
world? On the process. Why childish? Because as a children, if one child amount of children is able to do something the others are not able to do. You know, others are sling and this work and walk on his hands. Everyone says, how do you walk on your hands? Now this is the practical point of what is the utility of that. So it's childish. The fascination is something just because others cannot do it and one person can do it. But you see, what is the practical value of it? So like that, you know, the yogis, number one, not just talking about their yoga, and they can twist their body. Those are the facilities. It is also childish. First, some bhava can produce some ash or cure somebody. Well, if I can cure somebody, then why do you start asking? But does he cure everyone's senses? If he has to get to his money by a magic wand, why does he have to have childhood trust? He needs to his money and make everyone money. So it's just somebody has to do something unusual which others cannot do. And that these are genuine. The tapasya or the karma by the person got the physically respected. But to become fascinated by that, to see them as signs of dignity is a childish imagination. A child is fascinated by that which he is not able to do and others commonly are not able to do. That's what I'm saying. So, in this case, the first time Prabhupada is elaborately talking about the past revolution. Initially, in that apartment, that's what Robert and Rao, Krishna is not reproaching, doing the dances of the gopis, and even he takes Sukalam. But here, we will look more in detail. Go ahead.
On the several plates between the Lord and his limits, the Lord's wife, Sukhdev Goswami, says in Srimad Bhagavatam, 10.12.11.
Thamsatam Brahmasmani Bhutya, Rajyam Katanam Kareva Kena, Mayasitanam Nadhaya Kena, Sakam Vijayam Kitapunyam Bhutya.
This verse is quoted by Ramananda Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to show how Krishna is higher than Brahma. Because there is another is mostly based on Bhagavatam, according to Yoga verses, a lot of Bhagavatam verses. And he used this verse to show. And the other thing was Lalanarata Lakshmi Devi. So that is that how the Lakshmi Devi cannot achieve what Radharani and Gopi can achieve. So they quote Prabhupada, this was from their right treatment in Bhagavatam. Yeah, what is this?
The personality of God, who is worshipped as a impersonal, blissful Brahman by the Jnani, who is worshipped as a supreme Lord by the devotee in the full of survival state, and who is considered an ordinary human being by mundane people, lays in the power of God, who had attained their position after accumulating many past activities. Thus, the Lord is always engaged in transgender loving activity with its spiritual associates in the various relationships of the Shant Dharmika Rishim, Das Conservatorship, Sarsha Friendship, Vatsalya, Parental Affection, and Madhuri Conjugal Love.
So now, see, the officials have a plan of taking people from impersonal reality to personal reality. Prabhupada is following up that plan, but he is pushing him out to make it. Prabhupada started with anyone like Lord, God, and including persons in the family of the Supreme Brahman. So that he was support 10 there. Now, then Prabhupada is talking in the Ishavasya support. He is saying that God has opulence of renunciation, beauty, strength. He says everything about the illusion. But now Prabhupada is getting more and more generous. Now in the previous verse in Sulis, Krishna is potentially Kiranya Antarana, Patastha. Now in the identity, Krishna is like a service. You see, the same plan of omniscience, Prabhupada is following his purpose. But Prabhupada is giving more details, like more systematic analysis, present size of people to understand. Yeah.
This begins here that Lord Krishna never reached Vrindavan Dham. One has asked you, how he is managing the affairs of the creation? This is answered in the Bhagavad Gita 35:14-18. The Lord pervades the entire material creation by his trinary parts known as Paramatma or Super Soul.
Also, this chapter is the most favorite chapter of the Mahayana. So it is most officially. Like here we are Kalpuru, Tatvani, Vishetra, so that's that. Bhayantasya bhutanam charam acharamesha sukshmatvastha kavidyayam rasishtho pravishnusha. It's all packed with us. Bhayantasya bhutanam yausar also this kind of also. Tugad sanchanti cheshanda. It's far away, it's close also. Sukshmatvastha kavidyayam. It's so tiny. That's avidyayam. Avidyayam. You cannot know about it. And then Abhimantam Chaputeshu Bhaktam Ivayarathitam. He's undivided, and he's divided and situated with the others. So all the other paradoxicalness. So the Upanishad always speaks paradoxicalness. Why? Because of Jnani is like a form of expression. Jnani is really bad. So Krishna gives us the Jnani of the world. But then that question only at the end. Madhvastha etas vijnana madhava yopavasyate. Who can understand all the sarapas and all? Madhvaktha etasvijnana. So I think 13:14-18, 13:19 is Madhvaktha etasvijnana. Only my nation can understand this. And then it's the same nation, Madhava yopavasyate. So the paradoxical impersonal mantras are actually referring to the super soul. Supersoul manifestation
of the Lord. Okay. Although the Lord personally has nothing to do with meditation, maintenance and destruction, He causes all these things to be done by His trinary extension, the Paramatma. Evidently, He is known as Atma, Soul, and the principal Atma who controls them all is Paramatma, the Supersoul. This system of God realization is a great sign. The materialist Shanti Yogi can only analyze and meditate on the 24 factors.
Ramakrishna Prabhupada is following Jiva Goswami in the Paramatma Sandarbha. So what he is saying over there, before we read this, I will
explain the purpose to our diagram, in case it will become more clear.
So, good morning, Bhagavad Gita explains how Mahabharata explains the three kinds of Sankhya. There is 24 Sankhya, 25 Sankhya and 26 Sankhya. What is 24, 25, 26? A number of elements. So if you see Sankhya say there, there are only 24 elements. And another Sankhya which accepts, which is the monistic Sankhya, which is soul and God are one, this is 25 Sankhya. And there is the Bhagavata Sankhya, which talks about Vishnu Bhagavata, that is 26 Sankhya. So here, the focus of Sankhya is analyzing the 24 elements. So what happens is, when one studies Sankhya, it also requires philosophical perspicacity. Perspicacity means expertise to understand that beyond all the shapes and forms of this world are just some foundation in it. So ultimately a beautiful sense of jay is nothing but earth, water, fire and air. So to understand this also requires perspicacity. It's not ordinary person, not beautiful. Just keep a sense of jay, wants to enjoy it. So samisha also requires philosophical analysis. But the philosophical analysis does not penetrate deep enough. It analyzes the material world and realizes that actually all the variety of the material world is false because the founding elements are all clean and not very attractive. But it doesn't go beyond. So as a Samkhya philosopher, you go beyond the relative truth of material shapes and forms to what they think are the absolute truth of the founding material elements. Foundational material elements. So that is the level of the Samkhya philosophical realization. Then Jnani, they realize the absolute truth, not that they say, oh, matter is, even if there is without shape and form, still matter is achievement. How can matter be absolute truth? If you go beyond that, there is the Chetan Brahman. That is the absolute. Now, interestingly, Brahman is the absolute truth important. So this is not doing it. Potency is existed by the physical something. So Brahman is inactive. Whereas Brahman without potency. Now interestingly, you got something in the brilliant insight that Paramatma is Brahman with only visual potency. Because he is actually focusing on maintaining the material world, taking care of the material world. Paramatma does not perform consciousness. The Paramatma does not have Agni Shakti. Because he is a Paramatma's past sense. Then Bhagavan has Agni Shakti, but as Paramatma has Agni Shakti of manifestation. So the absolute truth is only material potency is Paramatma. And that Paramatma is realized through yoga. And beyond that, the absolute truth is both material and spiritual potency is Bhagavan. And he is realized through Bhakti. So one research. And Om Purnamada Purnamada, remember, Brahman is fully self-realization, Paramatma is Sat-Chit, and Bhagavan is Sat-Chit Ananda.
So let's move forward. Now after keeping this table in mind, you have your own book, or you can see the table here only, and as you read, you will be able to take sense of what is said over there.
The message is from Yogi.
The first step is the first step. Pray for the removal of the Hiranyamaya part, the divine covering of the Lord. Unless this covering is removed, so one can perceive the real face of the personality of Godhead, sexual realization of the absolute truth can never be achieved.
Yeah. There are two kinds of darkness. One is black darkness, the other is white darkness. And what do you mean by white darkness? See, darkness is that which blinds us. So, if we are in a dark room where there is nothing to be seen because it's so dark, that is black darkness. But if in that black darkness suddenly a strong light comes up, then that light also blinds by its glare. Its glare is so strong that it blinds. That is like a white darkness. It's so white that it clouds our vision. That even on the screen, you see, there is. Then you can have three options. You can make blank green, you can make black green, or you can make white green. Both will make you feel black. So, blackness also blind, and whiteness also blind. So, then you have to unlock, and it comes back. So, that is the meaning of? That is the meaning of? Hiranmaya Matra. Oh, I am blinded, my dear Lord. Please remove this blinding effect. That I can see.
Yes, how
do Samkhya Yogis see
the absolute
truth and matter? No, they don't think of anything beyond matter at all. Samkhya, especially the ATC Samkhya,
they consider that actually the absolute truth needs to blow out existence, like Buddhist, something like that. Slightly different. But their idea is desire is the cause of suffering, you have to go beyond desire to the completely suffering. Generally, Sankhya will not accept Ishvara, especially the atheistic Sankhya. That's what Prabhupada says, you know, the atheistic Kapila is not the only Kapila. Actually, the atheistic Kapila is traditional. So, that is their idea is the absolute truth is this world is full of relative truth. And we all the relative truth wants the material elements of it. And the material elements are all the elements, they're only attractive about them. And when we stop and get back to them, then it's like a the desire is what causes the candle of consciousness to glow. And the desire and the candle of consciousness that extinguished. And then you will completely see from the desire. That is right. Something like that. It's very simple outline, but all these processes are also complicated. Although they are complicated and illusions. But it's simple to understand.
The Paramatma features of the personality of Godhead, one of the three plenary expressions of Vishnu Tattvas, collectively known as the Purush or Dharma. One of these Vishnu Tattvas, who is within the universe, is known as Purushottama Vishnu. He is a Vishnu among the three principal deities, Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva. He is an all-pervading Paramatma in each and every individual living entity. The second Vishnu Tattva within the universe is Raghu Raksha Vishnu, the collective super soul within all living entities. Beyond these two is Prano Raksha Vishnu, who lies in the causal ocean. He is the creator of all universes. The yoga system teaches the previous students to meet the Vishnu Tattva after going beyond the 24 material elements of the cosmic creation.
So, actually, every level of material manifestation needs a manifestation of God to supervise. So we said that the Mahavishnu is the super soul of the Mahatattva. The Garbhodaksha Vishnu is the super soul of the universe. And the Shiravishnu is the super soul of the God. The super soul of each level of material manifestation. And from one thing, we have to go higher and higher. So it's all the Shiva. So Kali Yoga takes us to the
The culture of empiric philosophy has one realized that it was not Brahma Yogi, which is the remaining emergence of the transcendental body of Lord Sri Krishna. That Brahma Yogi is Krishna's emergence confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 14.27, as well as the Brahma Sutra
5.14. ओगिरिश्वशेषवस्त्रादिविभूतिभिन्नम् तद्ब्रह्मनिष्फलमनन्तमशेषभूतम् गोविन्दमादिपुरुषम् अहं
स्मरामि. In the millions and billions of universes, there are innumerable planets, and each and every one of them is different from the other by its cosmic constitution. All of these planets
Vibhuti Vinnam. So this is the word that Prabhupada other places uses to explain how life forms in different species, in different planets of different kinds. So on some level five life forms, in moon level different kind of life forms. So Vibhuti Vinnam. It's all the beauty of the Lord and different places. Go ahead.
All of these planets are situated in a corner of the Brahma Yogi. Then Brahma Yogi is but the personal race of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Govinda, whom I worship. This mantra from the Brahma Samhita is spoken from the platform of actual realization of the Absolute Truth. The mantra of the Ishvara under discussion confirms this mantra as a process of realization.
The Ishvara teaches the Prabhupada is correlating now. When one has realized, one says Yasya Pratha Pravartha. When one wants to realize, one says Hiranmayana Pratha. That's all the
quotation. Let me say that the material worlds are situated in one corner of Brahman. Are you not limiting Brahman? Because Brahman is unlimited. And this is another corner. So, that is what is beyond corner, right?
Okay. Corner is not used in a space-time sense. It is an indicator sense. It's like
Chakravarti Maharaj explained, actually in the 88th or 89th chapter, that the prayers are performed by 88th chapter then. So there Srinivasa Goswami started asking the question that, my dear Srinivasa Goswami asked Goswami, you know, the absolute rule of Bhagavan is spiritual, but our senses are material. So with our senses, how can we possibly understand the spiritual absolute? And then, he said, the same question was asked by Narada Muni to Narada Rishi. Very practical question, how Narada Muni went to Narada Rishi. And Narada Rishi said, actually, the same question was answered earlier when, when actually Bhumi Devi had come to pray to Mahavishnu. So Mahavishnu was speaking, Bhumi Devi came to pray with along with the Shukrishwar, personified with us. And then they started describing the prayer. And then he quotes the prayers of the personified Buddha. That's how in that chapter 38 comes. So otherwise in chapter Sudama Pachanda is required and Kukshetra Akhyatra is there. And some of these prayers are the personified Buddha. That's the connection. Now basically, this whole question becomes so philosophical that where the answer is in the text loss, you don't understand. But the answer is there in that chapter. And Chaturthi Pachanda is several points over there. In his commentary, of the last verse. So he says, that the conditioned soul cannot think of Krishna. And all the descriptions of Krishna, which are given in the scriptures, are not actual descriptions. They are simply indications. He says that when scriptures say that Krishna is bluish black, like a Krishna is a bluish black young boy, with a young boy with a complexion bluish black like a monsoon flower. So what we tend to do is, we imagine a young boy. We imagine a bluish black cloud and if you go to this level, you try to imagine Krishna. Now, the absolute truth cannot be invoked by superimposing human images. It cannot superimpose human images and invoke the absolute truth. But, by our endeavor to direct our mind according to the description given in the scripture, it gives Krishna. And when we believe Krishna, Krishna manifests his Dharma Shakti in our heart. When Krishna manifests his Dharma Shakti in our heart, that Dharma Shakti gives Krishna. And the Dharma Shakti gives Krishna, you know the little monster Dharma Shakti? Lagini Karaya Krishna Ananda Aswadana. Lagini Dwara Krishna Kare, they are Krishna. So then, when Krishna invests his Dharma Shakti in our heart, and that Dharma Shakti tells us Krishna. And when Krishna is listening to the Lali Shakti, he is in Krishna. That remembrance of Krishna becomes real. That becomes real. That means that at our stage, in chant Hare Krishna also, our renewal of Krishna is possible. Nice, we try to do it. But that alone will not purify. What purifies is our Nanak and then the purity of Krishna. That's why Ramanath Mara says that, you know, we want to remember Krishna in a way that it is Krishna. So at our level of realization is described, because intimate Radha Krishna was sent, remember Krishna. But that's not the way it's pre-Krishna. Because what will happen if you will see the world is enjoying that. That is Krishna. So therefore, we want to think of Krishna in the way of the Krishna. And the point, because your question is that, all scripture descriptions are not description, they are not descriptive, they are indicating of that. As by one famous thing. Devotee of God now says, my dear Lord, your Lord, he says, actually, Lord Ram, I have beautiful eyes. Lord Ram says, there's no eye on you to compare with it. Chakravarti Pachanda in another says, my dear Lord, I glorify you with profuse poetry. And I felt so happy that I glorify you. But now when I have had your darshan, now I have realized that all my glorifications were actually inside. All my glorifications were inside. It's like, you know, somebody glorifies, we are beggars on the street. And we glorify somebody. Oh, you are Karodpati, you have 10 cars and 10 bungalows, and you have your own helicopter, and you have this and that. And that person, not as a Karodpati, he is the singular emperor of the whole world. So he has not 10 cars, he has 10,000 cars. he has not one airplane, he is not on helicopter, he has dozens fleet of jumbo jets. Then the previous glorification that should be resigned. Because that would probably apply to his assistant manager or something like that. So, like that, all scripture descriptions are not descriptive, scripture references are not descriptive, they are indicative. Similarly, when you say corner of ontology, it is not a very descriptive, it is not a corner of ontology, but it is significant reason of the community. So, from here, it is very hard, so that is not insignificant reason there. They are religious.
The Sri Ishaunishan Mantra is a simple prayer to the Lord to remove the Brahma Jyoti so that one can see his real face. This Brahma Jyoti effulgence is described and detailed in several mantras of the Mundaka Upanishad. Hiranmaye Parikoshe Niranam Brahma Nishkalam Satchuk Brahma Jyotinam Jyotir Tanayam Atma Vidhavadu Asatya Surya Bhati Nishantravadhyam
ृतम पुरस्ताोत्तरेण
In the spiritual realm, beyond the material suffering is unlimited from the effulgence, which is free from material contamination. That effulgent white light is understood by transcendentalists to be light of all lights. In that realm, there is no need of sunshine, moonshine, fire or electricity for illumination. Indeed, whatever illumination appears in the material world is only a reflection of that supreme illumination. That Brahman is in front and in back. In north, south, east and west, and also overhead and below. In other words, the Supreme Brahma effulgence spreads through both material and spiritual sky.
So, you remember Mr. Bhante says Surya Shyamakuna Bhavaka, same thing is here, but the Vidyuta is added over here. And because the Vidyuta is added over here, Prabhupada mentions that, it is translation also over there. Prabhupada always uses, the Prabhupada teaches the principle. And the somebody may argue that in 15.7 there is no Vidyuta mentioned, there is no electricity mentioned over there. And the Bhāsate Suryo Vishyāṅko Rupārākha Yad Gatkuvā. There is no Vidyuta, no electricity mentioned over there. But Prabhupāda puts electricity over there. Is Prabhupāda adding something? Prabhupāda is basically making the import of the text relevant to us. The point is that there is no need for any artificial source of illumination. So now, in the time of the Bhagavad Gita, the source of illumination is the sun, moon and fire. In modern times, the negation of source of illumination is necessary. Prabhupada thinks even it's natural or artificial. No source of illumination is required. That's why Prabhupada puts electricity over there. You can find the same thing in another scripture. So it's a very amazing verse. Brahma in front and in back, and north, south, east and west, far and below. It's everywhere. Yes.
Who is known as Vasudeva, Kiran, Dharma, Dharma, Bhagavan.
is Brahma root, and Brahma is Paramatma root. The root, and everything comes from Aham Sarvasya Prabho, Tattaha Sarvamna Bhakti. Now you see, somebody might argue, when Krishna is saying Aham, he is not referring to me. He is referring to that because he is a manifestation of the Brahman. So he is not referring to himself. He is referring to the Brahman within him. So how do you refer to that? If somebody argues like this, actually when you say Aham Sarvasya Prabho, I am the source of everything. It is not Krishna's effect. Aham, you cannot refer to himself. Just as, you know, when we say Aham, we don't refer to the body, we refer to the soul. So Krishna is actually a manifestation of Krishna. Brahma. So when Krishna is saying Aham, he is referring to the Brahma, not the himself. Yes? Just like Prabhupada is not interpreting, so what is meaning that meaning? Exquisite to us. Let's move forward. Now, what is the robot explaining here?
I'll quickly show on a table and then move on.
See, now this is about the hierarchy. Now, in this Bhagavad Gita, like I mentioned earlier, Sri Ramanavata Maji, the different sadhyas are compared and bhakti as a supreme sadhya is established. So, let's see how that is in Bhagavad Gita. So, the process, how that person leads to Bhagavan through bhakti. That is the explanation of Bhagavad Gita. Sankhya, analysis of material elements. Dr. Analysis of material elements. Krishna said, yes, material elements are my energy. Bhumira Kamala Vayudhara Aparajitam Swanyam Jepara after that. Mattaha Parataram Nanya. That is 10.47. And 18.55 is Bhaktyama Uyanati. Then, what is 10.20? You know? How jnana leads to bhakti? Is the famous word? How jnana leads to bhakti? Yes, bahunam de manam de. As a fifth, not just 120.
19.
19. How yoga leads to bhakti is? But in these 3-4 verses he says, what we have to do? Yukta Aati Tamasparaha Manasanyam Yamachitto Yukta Aati Tamasparaha. That you can control your mind and fix it on me. Very clear. And then afterwards he says there is 6.14. And 6.15 is Yunja Evam Sadarmanam Yogi Nitamanam Shanti Nirmana Parama Mat Samstham Yachiti. So Krishna juxtaposes means bring together in visual mantras. Shanti. Shanti is the Mayavadi idea, Brahman idea. Nirvana is the Buddhist idea. Shanti is Nirvana, but it is Parama. Beyond that. What is that? Beyond Shanti, beyond Nirvana is Mat Samthamati Achyati. So this one is quite an important word. To show how the Bhakti destination is higher than the Buddhist destination, the impersonal destination. Now, how karma leads to karma man leads to bhakti? There are many words which are covered. This is 3.9. Prabhupada told you, yadhyanatha karma namunyatra, yodhoyam karma namunyatra. 3.9 is, mayi karmani karmani sanyasya atvarnasikya. So in fact, there are just a few verses. Many of you are interested in a very intellectually demanding study of the Bhagavad Gita. Then you can study the Vedanta report of Shiva Maharaj. Systematically analyze the Bhagavad Gita. And the most challenging subject that you might have studied in IIT, it is more challenging than that. And Quran was telling me, I was so thrilled when I studied it. But now, for the rest of my life, I am lamenting. Because there is no audience I can speak it to. Whenever I started speaking, people have gone to sleep. What happens is, every preacher, he develops a particular profile. So when one of them starts speaking, people are interested to crack some jokes and tell some humorous stories. I really start telling him, he loves to do that. But people go to sleep. So there is no audience to speak into. And if you are very interested in showing how Bhagavad Gita is just undoubtedly bhakti and Krishna, the Prabhupada is not an idol. Prabhupada actually reasonably present, the arguments are reasonably built up by Krishna. Prabhupada is only repeating those arguments. If you want to study that, that book is very good. In fact, that book was written Bhaktivedanta Purport by Srila Maharaj. In the introduction of he writes, and I am writing this to review those scholars, academic scholars, who criticize Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita as being unduly partisan to Bhakti. Prabhupada chanted everything as bhakti, and there is two people in this world. And he does it quite well.
You go ahead.
Who is reading?
The Bhagavad Gita 6.467 says the comparative analysis of the three types of transcendentals, the worship of transcendentals, the worshippers of the impersonal Brahma are Jnani, the worshippers of the Paramatma teacher are Yogi, and the devotees of Lord Sri Krishna are Bhaktas.
The yogis, they also go to Bhagavad Gita, but often they go to 6.467 only. They don't go to 6.467. 6.467 is Tapasvi Bhyo Diko Yogi. ज्ञानी भ्योगी नतोदिका कर्मी भेष्यादि को योगी तस्मात्
योगी भवान्
तो कृष्णा उसने भगवत कहा कि वो चीज तो कोई योगी एंड ही सेड दैट योगी इज बेटर देन तपस्वी योगी इज बेटर देन कर्मी योगी इज बेटर देन मैन सो प्लीज प्रैक्टिस योगा दैट इज व्हाट कृष्णा इज डूइंग तो ये सब कौन से
संबंध
है सो यस ही योगा इज बेटर देन ऑल दिस एंड अमंग ऑल द योगी इज द बेस्ट योगी इज नॉट इवन. Go ahead.
It is stated here that the jnani is closer, cultivated belief knowledge are better than ordinary food workers. So the yogis are still greater than the jnani. And that among all yogis, those who constantly serve the Lord with all their energies are the topmost. Brahmari, the philosopher is better than a laboring man. The mystic is superior to a philosopher. And of all the mystic yogis, he who follows bhakti of a constant and engaging in the service of the Lord is the highest.
पुषनेकाशेयं सूर्यकाजा सत्य व्यूहस्मिन्तमोहं तेजोदृष्टे रूपं कल्याणतमं सत्ये पश्यामि यो सावसो पुरुषं सोऽहमसि मायाविचरः सोऽहमसि आय एम दैट बिफोर दैट इट इज रूप. And Rupa is Kalyana Dhamma. Because the Rupa is also Maya and it will go beyond Maya. But the Rupa is actually Kalyana Dhamma. Kalyana Dhamma is the most auspicious. So it's so clear. Yes, go ahead.
Oh my Lord, oh Prime Philosopher, maintainer of the universe, oh relating principle, destination of the pure devotee, well wisher of the progenitors of mankind, please remove the influence of your transcendental days so that I can see your form of bliss. You are the eternal supreme personality of Godhead, like unto the sun as a man.
So, Aham Asti Prabhupada explains the qualitative elements, you know, the quantitative elements.
So, this is over here, of course.
ब्रह्म actually Lord maintains his devotee and he maintains everyone in everything else. And so how much means Prabhupada is in the house? One ending, one quality. And lastly, Prabhupada says, okay, you are praying like this, so what is the living out of that prayer? Living out of prayer is pure emotional service.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
The sun and its rays are one and the same collectively. Similarly, the Lord and the living beings are one and the same in quality. The sun is one,
but the molecules of the sun's rays are invisible. The sun's rays constitute part of the sun, and the sun and its rays can jointly constitute the complete sun. Within the sun itself resides the sun god, and clearly within the supreme spiritual planet, Guru Govindavan, from which the primary presence is humanity. The Lord is God in the present past tense, as verified in the Brahma Sutta 5.29. I was Govinda, the Supreme Lord, the first originator, who is ending the power of poultry all the land in woods, filled with spiritual gems and surrounded by millions of great poultry trees, spiritual poultry trees. He is always served with great reverence and affection by hundreds of thousands of jasmine or goddess of fortune. The Brahma Jyoti is described in the Brahma Samhita as the ray emanating from that supreme spiritual planet, Guru Vrindavan. Just as the sun's rays emanate from the sun god, sun globe. Until one surpasses the sphere of the Brahma Jyoti, one cannot receive information of the land of the Lord. The imperfect Lord was blinded as they are by the gathering Brahma Jyoti, can deny neither the actual abode of the Lord nor his transcendental form. Limited by their forefather knowledge, such imperfect thinkers cannot understand the all visible transcendental form of Lord Krishna. In this prayer, therefore, Sri Krishna petitions the Lord to remove the imperfect veil of the Brahma Jyoti so that the pure devotee can see his all visible transcendental form. By realizing the impersonal Brahma Jyoti, one experiences the auspicious aspects of the Supreme. And by realizing the Paramatma or all-pervading feature of the Supreme, one experiences an even more auspicious enlightenment. But by meeting the personality of Godhead himself face to face, the devotee experiences the most auspicious feature of the Supreme. Since he is addressed as the primeval philosopher and maintainer and great leader of the universe, the Supreme Truth cannot be impersonal.
So, Prabhupada is saying that actually any individual level is official. In the section 6.47 to 47, 37.5, the Krishna Bhakta Yoga Prashtam. There, it is described that actually all transcendentalists are on the auspicious part. The first one, Krishna, Avinash, Krishna, three verses, 38-39. And Krishna gives a reassuring answer. He doesn't tell much facts. This is really an answer, sir. Pocket verse, it is. Partha Nijini Hanamantra, Vinashan Pasitavitati. Mahi Kalyan Kutkashin, Dhruvatin Tavarachadi. My dear Lord, one, my dear Sat is a very affectionate word. My dear Arjuna, one may indicate an auspicious word, meets with suffering, meets neither this world nor the next. Mahi Dhruvatin Tavarachadi. Dhruvatin is a bad affection. So, there is Prabhupada is saying, the religion is Kalyan Kut. One is the auspicious word. Here the word is Kalyan Sama. Kalyan Sama, as you know, Tarayan Sama. Good, better, best. So, Kalyan Kut. So, Prabhupada is saying, Kalyan Kut means anybody who is seeking an eternal objective is actually working for auspiciousness. So even the Aspiring Brahman or Paramatma or Bhagavan, they are all on the auspicious path. Actually, everything temporarily brings in auspicious to our life. So then we use it, it's our But the Jnanis, Yogis, Bhaktas are all on the auspicious path. But the Jnani, their destination is temporary. Although they are aiming for the eternal, they stay in the eternal promiscuity to temporary, to fall back. The yogis, although they can stay eternally in Shantarat as Sri Vaikuntha, but they are not experiencing the full joy of spiritual life. As I call it auspicious because it's eternal, but it's not fully joyful. As Bhakta, their auspicious is really joyful. And that is more auspicious. Yes.
You were saying that how all the processes in Bhagavad Gita they lead to complete to Bhagavad Gita. So question is just that, like if we see these verses, karma, jnana and all these processes, they lead to bhakti, but they lead to jnana, like for example karma is there, it leads to jnana, dhyana and then to bhakti, not directly to bhakti, understanding bhakti comes directly.
See, as soon as one identifies that Krishna is the ultimate goal of life, one is considered to be bhakti. At the bhakta hindriya karvaya vala, many boys, they come for a voice over hands, say, you know, by chanting, my mind controls, my mind is become more peaceful, I can study better, therefore marks. So now they are coming, that means they are actually doing chanting to get more marks. Can you call that 7 bhakti? But they are not encouraging and recommending that. We are supposed to establish something higher. Though there is an ultimate sense. We talk about serving Krishna or pure love, Rama, Pasha, and Jinta. But they may come with that motive, and that motive is not go very easily. And even for us, when we are still in prayer, Krishna means to pure, it's not wrong to pray to Krishna. Certainly, for our health and care, means for us to serve Krishna. But my point is that even as devotees, some devotees use the karmanandha level. They are performing religion, they are going bhakti, so that their better life can be better. But they are not called karmanandha. Why? Because they have identified with Krishna. So if one identifies Krishna as the goal, then from karmanandha level directly to the goal. But if one is not able to identify Krishna as the goal, then there is just step by step progress. From karmanandha level to dhyana, then one comes to yoga, then one comes to bhakti. And that will take a long time. But as devotees, we don't have to go through all that. We don't have to practice yogasana. We don't have to fill our brain with body general key and analysis. We just chant Hare Krishna and tell about all the Krishna
Govardhan.
When the goal is not known and the primary process, sake is not known or it's not in common, and the process mainly is philosophy analysis, vimarshanam. For a devotee, his goal is known and primary process is not philosophy analysis. But because the devotee has an intellectual nature, then he delights in philosophy analysis more than in core devotional activities. It's not wrong. That's okay. But that's not called dhyana, that's dhyana vishya. Surely you go to that. All of that are vishya, dhyana vishya. In fact, you are only vishya. So we might, let's say, a difference. Dhyana vishya bhakti is different from dhyana. Because the goal is clear and the process is also not just dhyana. Dhyana is contamination of the couple of things. And that way, to some extent, and what we are doing here is to some extent we call it Yamisha Bhakti. But it's not a Yamisha Bhakti. Because Vishwanashtra Thakur has done that, or Devi Devotion has done that. You can't call them Yamisha Bhakti. Jews, the lawyers, who are here, they say that actually all the analysis is not required. And that's very Yamisha Bhakti. All the analysis is required at lower level. Prabhupada says, if they say like this, they are offending the Goswamis. So the Goswami are role models. The new Goswami has done so much analysis. Sandharva, if you study, it can take a lifetime for us to understand. Of course, we need a lifetime to study Prabhupada, so people can go to Sandharva. But the point is that Sandharva has enormous analysis. And why is that? Because we deepen our conviction that
Krishna is the absolute. What is our Sutiji? We say, don't be lazy about analysis. Siddhanta Vadiyasa say, Nakareyala. Yaha Hake Krishna Lage, Drudhana. So, if our analysis is always leading to conclusion of Krishna, you already know Krishna is the goal, but you're doing analysis to reinforce that conviction, then that is a part of bhakti. Because that is shown in the Swaran. Advanced examination. It can be, it cannot be. You don't have to worry too much. You better focus on the bhakti part of it. Okay? After passing, last time we said that.
After the passing, the impersonal Brahmadevi and see the person aspect of the love and in most of the species it doesn't form the devotee side is the absolute true principle. It is Bhagavad Sandarbha, it is a deep Goswami. The complete conception of the absolute truth is realized in the personality of Godhead because he is orienting and possesses full transcendental potency. The full potency of the absolute truth is not realized in the Brahma Jyoti. Therefore, Brahma realization is only partial realization of the personality of Godhead. O Lord, it is the first level of the word Bhagavan, Bhagavad, has two meanings. The first is one who fully maintains and the second is guardian. The second syllable go means guide, leader or creator. The syllable one indicates that every being is being and that he also is every being. In other words, the transcendental form the one to present infinite knowledge, potency, energy, opulence, strength and influence. All without a seed of material in
security. So here, this is Dhatu Vichar. You take a word and go to its etymological roots. What is etymology? The grammatical analysis of the root of the word. You saw the Chetanapurthi. When he came back from Ishwarpuri's place, from Kaya. Then he was analyzing all word roots to be Krishna Krishna. So now, Rishi Goswami is becoming ruler here. His Harinamami Prakaran is very sweet. You know, he says that actually, Sanskrit is the only language that has three genders. Normally in our English language there is male gender and female gender. But Sanskrit has male gender, female gender and neutral gender. So certain words are of neutral gender. So then he has given devotional names to everything. So he calls the male gender as Narayan Lingam. And he calls the female gender as Lakshmi Lingam. And he calls the neutral gender as Brahma Lingam. And he justified it because it is here that Brahman is absolute truth without potency. So neutral gender. So now here what is doing? Bhagavan. So, first is like Bharya, maintained, one who maintains. Bharata, also mentioned, one who maintains. Girl is related to the Gamyate, to go, so one who leads to a destination. And Vaas is related to Vaas, recite. So, one who moves everything recite, and one who resides in everything. So, actually, I talked to several yogis of Sanskrit scholars, they said that actually Sanskrit verbal root analysis is the ultimate intellectual sensation. It goes so deep into it. And so it analyzes completely with the intoxicant like. What do you want to be intoxicated by bhakti? Except you do not recommend your issue that too into Sanskrit. But those yogis who have inclination, Prabhupada will say gentleman. And Prabhupada will put them those who are quite excited. So he learns Sanskrit and he was speaking over and translation. The 10th canto, final chapter, Prabhupada was translating and he would bring the translation from Prabhupada and Prabhupada would speak out of Prabhupada. So, Prabhupada was PC. He called Prabhupada Pandit. And I am very grateful to him because of him I will translate to him. And I pray that God will accept all of his lessons from him. gospel, Prabhupada is not to say that for him. Anybody who helps him in his service, Prabhupada will say. Somebody helps him preaching, somebody helps him in temple construction, somebody helps him preaching, so what's that? I pray to Krishna that that he showers the blessing. The point is that, you know, if one has a specific interest and a specific talent, one can go in a particular direction. If we have a blessing and we have a opportunity for service in that direction. But it is not necessary for all of us to learn from this. Prabhupada said, very interesting, there is a problem over Sanskrit. He said, just like there are Gujarati, Marwadi businessmen, you know, they will send their children to school. And in the school, they will go to learn the, you know, physics, chemistry, math, all those things. But they will learn the math so that they can come up with their business and count the money. Their primary purpose is what? Going to school? To learn to do whatever is required for business. But as a Topa said, we should learn Sanskrit as it is required for teaching. So like that, there is no need for us to go deep into that. If some devotees have some specific talents and skills, in Govardhan, they have started the Shrimad Bhagavata Vidyapeetha, where they are training devotees. Of course, that's a big challenge because Jiva Goswami himself was brilliant, and Jiva Goswami's Harinama Vyakaran is extremely demanding. Learning Sanskrit is difficult. Learning Sanskrit to Harinama Vyakaran is devotionally relational, but intellectually challenging. So, first of all, you have to remember the normal rules of Pandini grammar. Then you have to remember the Harinama Vyakaran rules of Jiva Goswami. And then you have to remember the correlation between the two. And then every time you read a Sanskrit sentence, you have to have all the three roles in the mind. See which rule is applied and how to analyze. So, it's quite demanding. And you have to find it not so easy over there. Many devotees might initiate, but a dropout rate is very high for them. Because what happens, you become initially you become fascinated. Yes. Just like sometimes I want to chant 64 rounds every day. But then after that, 64 rounds a month, fortnight becomes difficult. And sometimes I want to learn Sanskrit, I want to understand. Siddhartha is coming. But after only 5 years, that actually it's not so easy. Because what happens is all of us have a lot of passion. And because we have a lot of passion, we still have to do something. I have to go and manage and drink and take devotees and conduct camps and do this. I'm just taking one book and maybe I have to read one page for 3-4 hours to try to understand it. And at the end of this, you can't speak that much in a class because people will go to sleep. So, we have to always keep on a practical point of view. How much is useful for us? And what is necessary for us to preach? That's why. Gauranga Rajanko, the initial day they wanted to go for Siyasthi to Vrindavan. So Maharaj wasn't wanting to go for Siyasthi. At that time, Siyasthi was very rare. Now Siyasthi is very common. Just study here, just study the Bhaktivedanta Thakur and you preach. And I said, hey, Maharaj telling the class is God brother. He said, no, actually, I said, my IT, yes, it is very good. But you see, even there, the graduates, even though we would have voted, you know, even if somebody studies there for 8 years, 10 years, are they doing anything more for our movement than what Gauranga Rajanko are doing? No, from a practical point of view, you see, you know, who are the leaders of the second generation of our movement? It's not just people who have learned Sanskrit and studied Sanskrit for many years. It's those who are actually in the street and teaching. They are in the most valuable service. So that's the part that is very, very practical about what is required for our movement. So, and this so we are talking about Sanskrit earlier. So Gauranga was telling me that once, you know, when he wanted to study Bhagavatam very deeply, so Maharaj told him he went into kitchen. So he was not ready to go into kitchen. Then Maharaj called him to his room. He told him, Gauranga, I don't want to just speak about Krishna so only. I want you to experience Krishna. I want you to experience Krishna. And for that, you should serve Krishna. So, that's how it is. We can study and we can go deep into the study. But it's nice if we have the capacity and if we have the service to do. So, some devotees may be into literary services, writing, editing. But then that reading is not just for knowledge. That reading is also for service. So, some devotees want to learn Sanskrit, then we would like someone to have devotees who can teach Sanskrit. They would have to go out of some learning. Some devotees make some Sanskrit teaching. And for them, Sanskrit study is necessary. So our study should always be in the mood of service. And some devotees, for them, study may be a full-time service. But then we have to see whether we can do the service full-time. Maybe when our other services become too much, we start feeling, yeah, I want to do the service, I want to study. But when we have a lot of time to study, then our mind starts wandering here and there. We don't feel so, we think, I will do something another. That's why our sadhana practice is there, we can study basic philosophy. And in general, you know, we learn much more by hearing classes than by reading. Actually, this is the first 5-10 years of our spiritual life. Then, afterwards, we start studying books, we understand what is happening in the book. Otherwise, we read books also, you can't see much. In an English, they are saying, what you can know depends on what you know. I think I remember this one, isn't it? What you can know depends on what you know. Just like, if an ordinary person sees another person, you know, okay, this person has a particular complexion, this person is like this. But a doctor sees, oh, this name, you have got anemia. You have got anemia. Your names are fine. They are not reddish. So the point is what? That both are seen, but it's beyond the issue. So what we can see, what we can do, depends on what we know. So when we hear, we know the yogis of Prabhupada. And by hearing repeatedly, you know, we don't get our action. And then we study Prabhupada books also, we can go into it. And this is the secret of the Prabhupada. The Rishikesh want to know Prabhupada directly. And they think that they can understand Prabhupada without going to the medium of those who have given their life to Prabhupada. And that's why they completely misinterpreted Prabhupada. Now, they quote only Prabhupada. Yesterday I was discussing with one devotee that the Guru's words should not be considered higher than Sastra. Nor should they be considered higher than Sastra. Now, all three are a triangle. Guru, Sastra, Shastra. So what does it, now the sadhu does not refer only to three such aspects. Sadhu also refers to karma aspects. Therefore, one takes the word guru only. And doesn't take the word sadhu, doesn't take shastra. Rasik is exactly like that. There is no within the shastra of Rasik. There is no support for that in sadhu. Rasik therefore is, because they're taking the word of guru alone, diverse from Rasik. Now, to some extent the Rasik devotees, their concerns are genuine. There were many problems in this form. And Ramamada was telling that actually, so they are angry with certain leaders of this form. He says, you know, they feel that they were cheated by the leaders. But Maharaj is saying, most of the people who are leaders of this form now, all of us were also cheated by the leaders. It is not that, you know, we were a part of it. We also were cheated by them. So, he says, the leaders who cheated them, we can't go and cheat it in this power. The leaders were disappointed then. The leaders were disappointed then, they disappointed us also. But we are trying to rebuild even the institution of the Guru, and we are trying to destroy the institution. They think by destroying the legal new institution, how can you do that? Actually, you rebuild it. So, Guru, Sadhu, Shastra, the Prabhupada's words have been understood from those who are dedicated to the Prabhupada. So, Prabhupada's disciples, Prabhupada's grand disciples, and this will be very systematic. That's why the parampara is always a dream parampara. Living parampara. So, the dream parampara becomes nice. Yes. Yeah. Their idea is all other activities that do only initiation in mind. It's a little strange. If you if nobody is clear enough to initiate, how can say somebody is clear enough to do half? How can somebody is clear enough to do keep them? So like where do you stop them then, I think? It's not a problem. But they have. They interpret Bhagavad Bhagavan in their own way. You should respect them, because they also, in their own way, love the Prabhupada. But the methods they are using are very, very, very unfortunate. So anyway, the point I was making is about Sanskrit analysis. It can be very interesting, and we can do it as good as possible according to our time and our capacity. And our service. And move forward from this. The Lord fully maintains.
The Lord fully maintains his unalloyed devotees. And he writes one progressively on the path of devotion perfection.
As a result of his devotees, ultimately awards a desire to them of devotional service by giving himself to them. The devotees of the Lord see the Lord eye to eye by his possessed person. Thus the Lord has his devotees to be the supermost spiritual planet, Guru Vrindavan. Being a believer, he can bestow all necessary qualifications upon his devotees so that they can ultimately reach him. The Lord is the cause of all causes. In other words, the Lord is the spiritual cause. Consequently, enjoy his own self by manifesting his own internal potency. Internal potency is not exactly manifested by him. For he expresses himself as a pulsar. And it is in this form that he maintains the feature of the material manifestation. By such expansion, he creates, maintains, and initiates the personal manifestation.
This is number 9.5. Namjamatthani bhutani pashyame yogamashyam. That is, Brother Lord is not activated in me. Why is not activated in me? Because I am like the spiritual world as Bhagavan. And this material world is maintained by the Purusha avatars. So in one sense, the Purusha avatars and Bhagavan are not different. But in another sense, they are different. The Purusha avatars are not enjoying the Rasina. They are only Krishna who enjoys Rasina. In Tattva point of view, they are saying, Tattva point of view, they are saying, that's what we are saying. So therefore, it is these forms that maintain the material manifestation.
Let's move forward.
The living entities are also the conceited expansion of the Lord's self. And because some of them,
what is the Sanskrit word for differential expansion? Vibhinna amsha. Two amsha and vibhinna amsha. So this characteristic is something that are asked around.
Yeah. And because some of them desire to be Lord and imitate the Supreme Lord, he allows them to enter into the cosmic creation with the option to fully utilize the propensity lording over nature. Because of the presence of his parts and parcels, the living entities, the entire phenomenal world is split into action and reaction. Thus the living entities are in full facility to lord it over material nature. But the ultimate controller is the Lord Himself, His primary feature as Paramatma, the Super Soul, who is one of the two selves.
Let's see what is going on here in this point. Prabhupada explains so how much he means. You see at the end of it, Prabhupada is a Lord of Him. How the energy is one way, it is different from the Lord. So how Prabhupada sees, yes, its mental nature is maintained by the Purusha Avatar. But the Purusha Avatar is a controller, and then we have to get controlled. So you may say sometimes temporary appearance is in control. It's like our body is healthy. You can go up to the body, you can control our body. At any moment, something goes wrong and you realize you cannot control our body. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Swadhi Nahi Ekara. The body is not in our control. So, we are one, if body doesn't die, we are different from man. But our capacity to control is not the same. The temporary controllers, but they are definitely controlled. There is Maya Adhish and Maya Adhish. Maya Adhish is Jagdish, you can show. Maya Adhish is the name.
Of the Lord, which exists in all circumstances of waking and sleeping, as well as the potential state and from which the jiva shakti, living force is generated and force and deepened in the created soul, is known as Brahman. So the Lord is the origin of both Paramatma and Brahman, is the origin of all living entities. And all,
what is waking, sleeping and potential state? It is jagrati, pakku, shakti. Waking, sleeping, potential.
Is the origin of all living entities and all else that exists. One who knows this engages himself at once in devotional service of the Lord. But the pure and fully competent devotee of the Lord is fully
attached to them in heart and soul. And whenever such a devotee assembles with sinful devotees, they have no engagement for the glorification of the Lord transcendental manifestation.
Yeah,
is it again?
He provided a pure faithfulness of within. So, a devotee advances his work. It's pure, and because it's pure, the Lord gives him knowledge. So, Prabhupada explains that, that Anandamurti says that full of knowledge is not full knowledge. Full of knowledge is not full knowledge. That means, the devotee has full knowledge of how to serve Krishna. But that does not mean that he is omniscient. Only Krishna is omniscient. And that's why Prabhupada is a pure devotee. But Prabhupada will expect devotees to give him reports. Now, what are you doing over here? Send a report to me. And then he will tell action. Prabhupada never acted as if he was a person. So he will direct instructions to you. Okay, you send the report, and this is the report he will analyze and go, okay, now you do this. You do this, now you do this. So, the pure devotee is perfect in that his purpose is perfect. His purpose is to serve Krishna always. Jayadev Maharaj offered us that fasting, and there was a morning walk. And he asked Prabhupada directly.
Prabhupada,
you know,
is spiritual master perfect?
No, Prabhupada is spiritual master, right? Because asking Prabhupada, you are
able. But then what if, when we see that spiritual master commits mistakes, spiritual master not commit mistakes. But then Prabhupada is practically. But sometimes the spiritual master quotes words is wrong, sometimes he quotes words is hard.
Now all the devotees are looking at Jayadev Maharaj, you know, what are they doing? You directly asking Prabhupada like that.
Satsang Maharaj also then that point you are. Then Prabhupada said, what is the third devotee quotes words is wrong? Prabhupada said, that is buddhi
illusion.
That is buddhi illusion. Then the devotee starts thinking, Satsang Maharaj asked, that means Prabhupada, that we have a wrong conception of perfection? But my, yes. He said, the perfection of a pure devotee is that his desire is perfect for salvation. Now, he has also a body, he has also a mind. And that perfect desire, if he works with the body and the mind. And because he works with the body and mind, sometimes you know, that Prabhupada famous for Janma Karma Chaya, you know, एवं तत्वादेहम पुनर्जन्म नैती मामेती कौमते लोपल अहम को कौन थे अर्जुन आवर और इनको पार लोपल अहम दे लेते सो ना प्रोपल वॉट द परफेक्शन ऑफ योर डिवोटी इज परफेक्ट डायरेक्ट सर्विस बट बॉडी एंड माइंड आर पर्टिकुलर वे अकॉर्डिंग टू बट आफ्टर दे सो द लेफ्ट इज मेडेड ओवर दैट एंड ऑल इज यूज फॉर ऑन टू जेडेड मारा यू आर जेडेड वे
Started
without a
man. It is the
never
to go by the Bible. So,
you are
coming to Guru Akra,
you
are
going to fall down. The devotee is delighted in these things. You are coming to Guru Akra, you are going to fall down. Then my question is offensive. Then not offensive, ignorant. Not offensive, ignorant. So, that means what? That actually the perfection of your devotee is that his purpose is perfect. Now from a material point of view, a materialistic person, his language is perfect. His memory is perfect. But his purpose is totally wrong. His purpose is to envy Krishna and to imitate Krishna. But your devotee's purpose is perfect. Now of course that doesn't mean that everything that your devotee is saying is imperfect. No, that is also perfect. Because the perfect person is expressed in that. But occasionally, certain things may work out to be something like the grammar, the memory, it may not work out. To be perfectly accurate. But you have to have correct understanding of perfection. The pure perfection is that, it's perfect, perfect. Okay, so that is what I say. A pure and fully cognizant devotee. Fully cognizant means, he knows. How we should serve Krishna. Yes. My question is okay. Yes, sir. My question is okay. Very good.
With
He completely controls the senses, meaning that the devotee senses don't enter over sense gratification. Because they are completely absorbed in the sense gratification. But the sensory faculties
is different.
You know, a pure devotee. Now, if you say that a pure devotee is in a Western body, his voice is where it's in a Western accent. You know, if Krishna is controlling, and can Krishna not change the way that a pure sanskrit accent? He can do it. The common Krishna doesn't do it.
So that means
Krishna lets the normal laws of material interact with the body in the way, but the pure desire is expressed through that. So that controls mental respect is not going towards sense gratification. He engages according to Krishna's desire for Krishna's purpose. Let's move on.
Those who are not as perfect as a pure devotee,
namely
those who have realized only Paramatma or Brahma's teachers of the Lord, cannot appreciate the activities of the perfect devotee. The Lord always helps the pure devotee by imparting necessary knowledge within their heart, and thus, out of his special favor, he takes all the darkness of ignorance.
Did you see this word? Aham Agyana Jantama Nashinami Atmabhavasto Jnana Jitena Bhaskarabhavasto. So 10.10 and 10.11 seem to be similar. 10.10 is the word Prabhupada spoke about Vidhana Vidhi Yoga Mutam in the Mount Pyan. Now 10.11 describes the mechanism of the happens. How the real intelligence is actually in the heart of me. I will remove the Dharma to the world and I will write it with the wisdom of
Speculative philosophers and yogis cannot imagine this because they more or less depend on their own sense.
Yes, and they cannot understand how pure devotee can act in this way. Because they are not depending on pure Krishna.
They think
from a material point of view, he is not as confident as me, he is not as intellectual as me, he is not as brilliant as me. Why is he attracting so many people? What is the saying about it? They don't understand that Krishna is manifesting all attractions to the pure devotee and attracting souls. But if you evaluate materially, I mean, devotee of course material people. You see Arachaya, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Prabhupada. Material also is extraordinary. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, you know, it takes languages. And you could write in all of them, speak in all of them. So, six of the main languages you need. Apart from that, we have. We don't have all these great animals, which only material is impressive. Such a materially, we can see in a particular vision, materially always somebody else can be better than somebody else, as a material material. Somebody else can be better intellectual than another pure devotee. Somebody can be better singer than a pure devotee. Somebody can be a better manager than a pure devotee. But, all this is the irrelevant. Because what is great about a pure devotee is his heart. It is not his skill, it is not his ability, it is his heart. And you know, the ability is that he's having super vision, but he has not attracted Krishna. What attracted Krishna is heart.
As given in the Katha Upanishad 1.2.23, the Lord can be known only by those who he favors and not by anyone else. Such special favors are bestowed upon his pure devotees only. Sri Vishnu Upanishad thus points to the favor of the Lord is beyond his purview of purview.
Yes. So the previous verse described, which take me beyond the material. And this verse from which is describing? This verse from which is describing? You see? This is for the same thing. It is new day for this, but you have to mention this to everyone. And please help me realize that as you are transcendental, I am transcendental. So this prayer is new, it's completed. You are new to this one. Actually, the material is removed. Then one can actually realize one's quality of identity and find the body in the body. The next two words will become very sober. If you remember where the Swayambhu Manu is taking place, speaking this prayer, the rapists are coming to attack him. another Rakshasa coming, but actually he's deciding to spare Rakshasa. So now he's thinking, my body is going to fall. Let this body fall, but let the soul return back to me. That will be described in the next two verses. So stop here, we will discuss in the afternoon. Thank you very much. Shri 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 Shri